Hey everyone, my name is Brad. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from same-sex attraction and shame. Hey guys. Growing up, I was always known as the good kid and found my identity in trying to be perfect by following the rules and exceeding everyone's expectations. My family went to church every Sunday, and I accepted Christ around the second grade. I knew that I was a sinner and believed that Jesus paid the penalty of my sin through his death on the cross so that I could live in harmony with God forever. But I didn't really know how to live out my Christian faith. Christianity seemed to be all about following the rules, mostly a list of things not to do. If I didn't have sex, do drugs, or drink alcohol, then I was good. I knew what not to do, but I didn't really know what to do. Around the age of 12, I sought out pornography online and ended up looking at gay porn. This was the start of my struggle with same-sex attraction. My parents monitored internet activity, so they saw what I was looking at and confronted me. They told me to stop looking at porn and then said, "You're not gay." That was the only conversation we ever had about it. It was clear to me that this struggle was something that couldn't be talked about and that I just needed to not be gay. In an attempt to follow the rules and meet expectations, I compartmentalized my life. On the outside, I tried to be good enough for God and everyone else. I looked like a model kid who got straight A's and never got into trouble. But on the inside, I fed my struggle through porn and masturbation. I hid from everyone, terrified of being found out. I believed that no one could know me, know my struggle with same-sex attraction, and still love me. From the age of 12 to 27, I never talked about my struggle with a single person. It felt like God had cursed me, even though I have never acted out on my struggle. I didn't understand why I had to struggle with same-sex attraction. I would have rather struggled with nearly anything else. While I would have never used these words back then, I believe that God didn't really love me. He just tolerated me. I felt like I'd been disqualified from living a good, full life, and that I'd have to settle for half of a life. God used the conflict of my compartmentalized life, my isolation, and my attempt to control everything to bring me to my rock bottom, and he met me there. He opened my eyes to see that I was living a shell of a life. I had always felt disqualified from living a good, full life because of my struggle, but God hadn't disqualified me. In John 10:10, he says that he came that I may have life and have it abundantly. I had disqualified myself. I held myself back, enslaved to shame and fear. I was terrified that I'd end up alone, rejected by everyone. The irony is that I was alone because I was rejecting everyone in an attempt to protect myself. The question that I couldn't escape was how long? How long was I going to live a shell of a life, unable to trust God and unable to be loved by anyone? How long was I going to forfeit the abundant life that Christ had purchased for me? I'd always promised myself that I was taking the secret of my struggle to the grave, but God used Proverbs 28:13 to encourage me to confess. It says, "Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy." So in December 2015, I confessed to my roommate. Much to my surprise, he didn't run for the hills. He looked me in the eyes and said that my struggle didn't define me. It was a huge burden lifted off my shoulders. For the first time in 15 years, I was honest and I was known. I committed to start attending Regeneration. My first night at Regen was hard. I wanted to be anywhere else. I didn't want to tell these complete strangers about my struggle. This was going to ruin the reputation that I'd worked so hard to create. I knew that I needed to be here, but everything in me screamed for me to walk out the doors. I decided to trust God and to dedicate my Monday nights to seeking him and his healing. I repeated those words to myself every Monday night, no matter how badly I didn't want to come. Once I got placed in a step group, I thought steps 1 through 3 would be easy. I was a Christian. I knew all the right answers, but these steps wrecked me. God showed me the stark contrast between what I knew to be true and what I actually believed. I knew God loved me and had good in store for me, but the way I lived my life showed that I doubted God's willingness to save me, heal me, or provide for me in the present moment. The foundation verse for step 2 opened my eyes to reality. Psalm 103:2-5 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. In the present moment, God loves me, forgives me, heals me, saves me, pursues me, and seeks to satisfy me with good. God doesn't just tolerate me. He didn't curse me with my struggle. He cares for me. He is willing and able to heal me. Upon the foundation of God's goodness, I was able to face inventory and confession. These were the steps I was most concerned about going into regen. How was I going to be that honest and vulnerable? What would my mentor think of me? Because of the reality of who God is and who I am because of who God is, I was able to face steps 4 and 5. Confession was a turning point for me. Someone knew the worst of me, yet loved me and sought to help me work through the brokenness. I wasn't alone. God and God's people were with me. The most challenging step for me was step 9, amends. God convicted me to make amends with my family. This meant confessing my struggle to both of my brothers for the first time. I booked a flight home to California to make amends with my family. I confessed my struggle, owned my rejection of my family because of my own fear of rejection, and asked for forgiveness. My family was gracious and loving. It was hard, but it brought me closer to them and helped to continue to rob fear and shame of their power over me. Other amends conversations did not go so well. Oddly enough, though, I do not regret these amends at all. Even in the midst of a less than desirable response, it was totally worth it. God used amends to humble me, break down my defenses, and free me from shame. And I was even able to share the gospel through it. God used the 12 steps of regeneration to change my life. I'm obviously not perfect. I'm not sinless, but I do sin less. I've experienced long seasons of freedom from pornography and masturbation. It's a daily fight for a pure mind and right heart, but God helps me to fight. I'm quick to confess to my community group when I'm struggling or when I fall to temptation. God is opening my eyes to see sins that seem relatively smaller but contribute to my primary sin struggles in major ways. The area that God has changed my heart and mind the most is being vulnerable and authentic with others. I was able to share God's story of grace in my life in a similar way to this to a group of about 40 volunteers here at Watermark. It was just more than 1 year from confessing my struggle for the very first time. In 1 year's time, God had changed my heart from believing the lie that I am the worst of all sinners and that I couldn't possibly be known and loved to believing that God loves me and can use this story for good. I found strength to share my story then and now in 1 Timothy 1:15 through 16, where Paul says, "The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who are to believe in him for eternal life. My story and my struggle can be used to proclaim the glory of God and the amazing gift of salvation to a world full of broken people." I'm now co-leading a group of men through the 12 steps. They encourage and challenge me to seek the Lord with my whole heart. I'm encouraged by the way that I see God changing and redeeming each one of them. They have been bold in their authenticity and honesty since the very first night. The regen steps aren't magic. They won't heal you or set you free, but God can use them to change your life like he's changed mine. When I started regen, I was a slave to shame and fear. I struggled to trust God, found my identity in what others thought of me, and tried to control every aspect of my life. Because of Christ, I'm no longer a slave to my shame, fear, or feelings. I'm free to live, to be known, to love God, and to be loved by God. I was once defined by my sin, but because of Christ, God sees me as a blameless and beloved child. He's still working on my heart, but he has brought me from absolute bondage to a place where I can say in front of all of you that my name is Brad, I'm recovering from same-sex attraction and shame, and Christ has set me free. Thanks for letting me share.